my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to His original design, communion, peace, worship, and the rest He promised in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." My name is Emily, and I'll be, as you can tell, I think we're tired.
I'm going to call you Amelie from now on, one of my favorite movies. Okay.
Yes, I'll be your host for today. And as you have heard, joining me is Naomi. Hello.
Hello, Amelie. Hello, listeners. It's lovely to be here on this beautiful Friday night here in downtown Adelaide and wherever you are all around Australia. I just pray that you've had a lovely week. And if you haven't, we're going into the Sabbath hours now. And I know there will be a blessing in it for all of us, no matter what our week has been like, what maybe hurts or tragedies or things that, you know, bad news that you may have got today or this week, or maybe friends of yours are sick or family members. We know that God is with us. And especially on the Sabbath day.
Yeah, it was really amazing just before we started here and listening to the song. You may have just heard the end of it, "There is Peace in Christ." And it's just so encouraging. I just love that song. It says, "When there's no peace on earth, there is peace in Christ." And so that's really what we want to bring to you this evening, that even though there's, you know, such turmoil going on in this world, that there's such encouragement and peace and strength when we can give our hearts to Jesus. And so, yeah, we're so excited that you can join us. And we would love to know, like, we really would, where you are listening from.
Yeah, text in, tell us where you are. Yes. And maybe tell us what the weather's like, because here it's been an interesting day. It's been raining a lot.
Yes, it has.
Very windy last night. But yeah, tell us where you're listening from. We'd love to know.
Yes. And so you can text us on 0488 808 11. And yes, we'd love to hear from you. And so, Naomi, how was your week?
Well, it's been fantastic. It started off amazing. Listeners, on Sunday, we went somewhere very special.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. A wedding.
Yes.
So big shout out to the new happy couple, Ali and Jenna. Beautiful couple. And I reckon it was one of the, I'm going to say, the best wedding, best vows, definitely. And,
they were very special.
They were very special. And, I love how they came into the chapel. It was terrific. And, sadly, the minister who was supposed to do it couldn't do it because of, you know, illness and different things in his family. And so Pastor Mark Wilson, who's been doing digging up the past here, the archaeology with us in City Church and last year in Brighton, he stepped in and it was hilarious. It was so
amazing.
It was good. And Ali and Jenna's vows were great. And I love how they came into the chapel together. She didn't want to walk down the aisle by herself and he didn't want to wait up there by himself. And I just love they bounded in and wasn't it special?
Yeah. It was just, you know, joyous. what they wanted, and yeah. It was so really nice for
and
them.
And Emily played her violin in the reception, which was very low key. And a big shout out to all the girls in Victor Harbour who did all the food. Wonderful plant-based food, wasn't it?
Amazing.
We had so much to eat, and the cake was vegan. Yay!
Yes, and
so
then we got to have some at home as well. They sent some home for us.
They did. So thank you, guys. Thanks for inviting us. And I really, really loved it. And a big shout out to you guys and a blessing for your future ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of food.
Yes. You're hungry?
No. today was quite a busy day for me because I was getting ready for the cooking class, which is here in Adelaide on Sunday. So if you are in Adelaide, we would love to have you come along to the Brighton Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is 10 Amelia Street, Hove. And we'll be there starting off from 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. And so, yeah, you can text us in actually right now if you think you can come.
If you think you can come and we'll register. It only costs $15. That just covers the food. It's really just a wonderful community event in the Brighton Church Hall there. And there's lots of people from the community coming. And it's going to be a really lovely time. Emily demonstrates all these beautiful dishes and then we bring them out and eat them. for a banquet. So what's not to love about that, right, Emily?
That's so right. Good. And shout out to our friend Kate. She was very kind and helped me cook all morning.
Good on you,
she was
Kate.
Very lovely.
She is lovely. And we met her on the Maker Heels. And our next Maker Heels, if you're interested, is coming up in November, November 22, down in Yankalilla. Sorry yes. for everyone listening around Australia. We are being Adelaide-centric, aren't we? But there are other Maker Heels around Australia. Just go on to makerheels.org and you can actually look and see what the nearest one to you is.
Yes, .org.au. Yep.
Yes, .org.au. Don't forget yes. the AU, otherwise yes. you'll go somewhere else. Oops.
Yep.
And the other thing, there's something also happening on Wednesday night. It's City Church. What's that, Emily?
Well, it's a cooking class.
we normally do one a month, and we've been trying to do one for Brighton. We've kind of been at City Church. And but interestingly, this one isn't just two in the month. It's actually two in a week. Emily, why are they trying to kill you, Emily?
They're
trying
to kill Emily. Whose idea that was. Anyway, so, it'll be good.
It'll be wonderful. So if you want to come to City Church, that's actually on 6:15 at 82 Angus Street
yes.
on Wednesday night. So especially if you're working in the city, there's parking across the road, and it'll be wonderful there as well.
Yes, it will. And shout out to Esther. She just texted in, said, what a blessing to hear you ladies again. She is from Ellenbrook, and I think that's WA, right?
Yes, it is. And the best
says,
state.
Yeah, exactly. Cold weather lately, she says, and at the moment it's 17 degrees and it goes all the way down to 2 degrees.
Oh, wow. Tonight that's very cold for Perth. And then we've also got Graham Collins. Hi, ladies. My name is Graham. I'm listening from Brunei Island in Tassie. That's so funny. I was thinking about Tassie. So what should I do when he's got a specific question. We can talk to you later about that. That's a very interesting question, Graham. But I'm thinking it's probably really freezing there. It's probably already 2 degrees because Tassie is very, very cold. So shout out. Yeah, Graham and Esther, thank you for texting in. Lovely to see that you guys are listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Yes.
And we also want to give a shout out to Courtney and Duncan and Sasha and Rhiannon. Oh, we got to see Sasha and Rhiannon this week. It was lovely
time we had with them. If you were listening last Friday night, you'll know that we've got a special prayer request for Sasha. Her and her daughter, they have just started keeping the Sabbath. And she's got a shop down in Old Ranella, it's called, and the shop is actually called Bonza Bratz, which is wonderful bric-a-brac and things for children, secondhand and new. And she's decided to do what, Emily?
She's closing on Saturday.
Closing on Saturday.
And opening on Sunday instead.
Yeah. And so a big shout out to Sasha. And everyone, please pray for her, because we know that it's probably scary to do that, right? You've got to really trust and have faith in God. You're going, right, I know the Bible says I will supply all your needs. And so, yeah, pray for her as she steps out in faith to close on her busy Saturday or the Sabbath so she can keep the Sabbath. And we know God will bountifully bless her.
Yes, absolutely. Now, friends, all this week our colleagues have been talking about the Bible in times of hurt and pain. Tonight we are going to look at how can I relate to hurt and pain? So we've got some awesome promises and stories coming up for you. But before we go to that, we have a free giveaway for all our Faith FM listeners.
Yeah, all our faithful Faith FM listeners. This book is by Chris Blake, and it's got a beautiful title, Searching for a God to Love. Isn't that a good title? I was thinking that today when I was looking at it, Searching for a God to Love. I mean, a lot of people search on dating apps for someone to love or marry.
Yes.
But this is searching for a God to love. And if you'd love this book, what I'd like you to do is text into 0488880811. So that's 0488880811. And the special code tonight to get your free gift is SA421. So that stands for South Australia. So SA421. And don't put any dots or dashes or spaces. So SA421, and the number to text it to is 0488880811. And this is a terrific book. It's wonderful to share this particular book. You could even get it and share it with friends that you have. This book is, which is called Searching for a God to Love, it reaches out to those seeking a new understanding of God. Because often we have these preconceived ideas or institutionalized religion or, you know, just, I guess, traditions. But really throughout the book, Chris Blake, it really tells a wonderful story that talks about who God really is and reveals his power, how he's infinite and the loving relationship that God actually, he wants to have with us mere mortals. Like there's a chapter title, which I thought sounded amazing, Beyond Mother Nature, and another, The World's Greatest Lover. So that's a very interesting title. So Searching for a God to Love, that's by Chris Blake. And I know that you'll be blessed by this book when it comes straight to your house. If you text in now, which is 0488 80811, and the special code tonight is SA421. Now, if you're driving along and you can't text that in, we will be giving it the code again later in the program, so yes, you won't miss out.
Yes, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
And a shout out to Esther and also Damien, who got the book.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well,
you're going to love that.
You're going to love it, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, friends, now we have some music for you, and this is The Sabbath Song by Ali and Leighton.
He made us, he saved us, he's coming back to take us home. He made us, he saved us, he's coming back to take us home. Jesus, you are welcome in this place. Father, you are welcome in this space. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with grace. This palace of time and space. He made us, he saved us, he's coming back to take us home.
The beautiful song, Sabbath Song, by Ali and Leighton. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And do we have a special guest?
We do have a special guest. Do you know who it is? It's Emily.
And Naomi.
Welcome, Emily.
Yes. So friends, we are very glad that we can chat tonight, even though, you know, it's lovely to have some.
Yeah, we have had some amazing people on. If you want to go back and listen to any of the podcasts, you just go back into the app. If you've got the app, or if you go online, go into the browse section, the podcasts. So all our recordings, once they go to air, they become a podcast. So yeah, go back and have a look. We've had some amazing people. We've had, Dr. Eric Walsh, Steve Warburg last week was a pretty amazing, wasn't it? All about the supernatural.
Yes.
And we've also had, Pastor Ron Kelly, and we had, Eli Gore, and, he's a very famous actor. We had him a little while ago, and coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have him and his wife, Elaine. So yeah, have a look at that. I want to do a special shout out to a very special person.
And Who's that?
His name is Jamie.
Oh, and do I know that person?
You do, because it's your very, very new little
nephew.
So big shout out to Jamie. You're really so cute, and you're lucky that I'm not where you are, because I would definitely be pinching those cheeks for sure.
Poor little thing. Anyway.
So shout out to him and his mummy, Sophie, and daddy, Josh.
Yes. So, yes, it's a very exciting time for our family.
Very. First grandchild is exciting. Yes.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And what a blessing from God, huh?
That's right.
Beautiful.
Now, friends, all this week, our colleagues have been talking about the Bible in times of hurt and pain. And now, tonight, we're going to look at how can I relate to hurt and pain. And as I was thinking about this, I was flicking through my Bible and I came to Isaiah chapter 61. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, this is actually about Jesus, even though, yes, it is in the Old Testament, but it's a prophecy about Jesus and what his ministry was going to be when he came to this earth.
And that's interesting, because Isaiah was one of the scrolls found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it was the entirety of the Isaiah scroll, which is exactly identical to what we have in the Bible now.
That's right. Oh, quick shout out to Davo. He is texting in. So thank you so much for listening. He's also from WA.
He is. Great people are from WA, right? He's in Balga, WA. So hello and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to read this actually in Isaiah chapter 61, and starting from verse 1, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And that's just the first verse. And you just see one after another the things that Jesus is going to do when he comes to this earth. And, you know, when it talks about those that are broken in heart, like there's so many people these days, and even, you know, ourselves, you know, we've probably gone through experiences where, you know, we could be described as that. And, you know, maybe we're not physically in a prison, but we might feel like we are locked in, that, you know, no one cares about us, or it seems like we're in a very dark place.
We can be in an emotional prison.
Yes, that's right. And so it's saying that Jesus came to set these people free and to heal those that have, you know, are broken. And it continues on in verse 2, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And that verse is amazing, because it's actually saying that God is going to, he's going to come and he's going to bring justice. You know, when it's talking about the day of vengeance of our God, which is really talking about the second coming, when God is going to, you know, destroy all the awful things and the evil in this world.
Get rid of sin.
Yeah. That's right. And that's, you know, what brings all the injustice and the pain.
Correct. And that's such a comfort to know that.
Yeah, that's right. And so, and it's, then it says to comfort all that mourn. And it continues on, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And you think about a a tree, you know, if we, you know, you can see some trees and they really look sick and dying and they're mm-hmm. small, mm-hmm. but God wants us to be like a beautiful flourishing mm-hmm. tree, you know, that's got lush leaves and all these things on it.
And beautiful fruit.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so here in these verses we see that God wants to take away the hurt and pain mm-hmm. and give us joy and give us gladness and lightness and yeah. joy in the place of that. And that is what happens when we trust in Jesus, and mm-hmm. we'll definitely be looking even more at this tonight. And Naomi, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I love how, you know, when we read the Bible, I love the fact that Jesus is painted already mm. into the Bible in the Old Testament, to saying yes. what he will do when he comes, and mm. and then the New Testament, it tells us all about what he will do when he comes back.
Yes.
After we've seen the life of Jesus in the New Testament, later on in Revelation, we hear all about what will happen when he comes back. And we know there's many pains, in real life for us. There's mm. many, hurts and things that happen.
Yes.
But, you know, God is faithful. That's the one thing I want you to remember, because, you know, there's always suffering, but from suffering, there's always God's deliverance. And I love the Bible stories, and they're not just stories as in for children. They're actually for us to read and to know, wow, the same God that was, you know, parted the Red Sea and let the Israelites through, the same God that delivered the children of Israel into Canaan, the same God who died for our sins and raised people from the dead, is actually the same God we're praying to now. It's the same mm. God, because he's the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. There's some yeah. wonderful stories in the Bible. I particularly love Joseph. I know that was my mum's favorite story of Joseph, because her name was Josephine. And
oh, wow.
So she loved that. And we know, if you were tuned in on Monday night when Emily was on the Faith FM program, Drive Time with Pastor Matt, they talked a lot about Joseph. And,
yes.
and you know, that story is so beautiful. He was loved by his father, but he was hated by his brothers. They threw him in a pit. They sold him as a slave. Imagine that. Then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, who was in Egypt, a very important man, a very important woman. He was falsely accused because of what she wanted to do. He ran away. He didn't want to have any part of sin. And then he was put in prison. And he was forgotten. Imagine that, people. Eventually, though, he was raised to become a ruler of Egypt, and he saved his family during a famine. So in Genesis 50, verse 20, it tells us, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So there's a really great lesson in there for us, Emily, that God can turn betrayal into blessing. And what I see in this story is he needed to be there in Egypt because he was the one, because of his faithfulness, he allowed the famine that he knew was, he'd had a dream it was coming, and he got them all to, that there was going to be a lean time to actually have storehouses of wheat and grain. And so sometimes, you know, I see that the life of Joseph actually illustrates the life of Christ, doesn't it? That there was
yes.
envy that moved the brothers to sell him as a slave. They hoped to prevent him from becoming greater than themselves, which is what they did with Jesus. But he carried out his faithful plan that God had for him, and he actually was a huge blessing. So often when we're in trials, it's hard for us to think of anything else. But I want you to ponder that right now. Like when I'm coming, so you know when you're in a trial, okay, God, what do you need me to learn from this? I want to strengthen my faith. And because faith, as you told us a few weeks ago in the program, Emily, that faith needs to be exercised so it increases.
Yes.
And we know that this is so important. You look at even Job. I mean, they've talked about him this week as well, that when everything was falling apart, he lost his children, his wealth, his health. He was misunderstood by all his friends. Even his wife said, I just curse God and die. And he said, no, foolish woman. He never questioned God's purpose, and he remained faithful. And what did God do? He restored everything back to him. Even, and he said, even though they slay me, yet will I trust him? And that's in Job 31:15. That's a beautiful quote.
And that is so important, I think, to realize that, you know, we shouldn't allow these, you know, the challenges to draw us away from God, but they're really meant to draw us to him and to open our eyes to see, you know, God's ability.
And I believe that's why the stories are in there. You know, they're not just, they're wonderful. People read them often to their children, but they're there for us that even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And the lesson for me in that is that, you know, faith can survive even when the answers do not come, because he just sat there and mourned. I mean, really, when you look at it, the trials of Job, they were permitted to teach lessons which you know, no one could really have fully understood. And for, even for us, they're examples for us now. And when we come back, we'll look at a couple of other beautiful Bible stories that really help us. I think it helps lift our faith and encourages us.
That's right. Well, I mean, our topic is how can I relate? And when you see, you know, the stories and the experiences of someone else, especially in the Bible, because God actually put those stories in there for a reason. And, you know, he knew that we would be reading them. So there's amazing lessons that we can learn.
And that's why God preserved the Bible, because it really is a roadmap of God's teaching for us. And every part of the Bible is important. There's not one bit that is not important. And a shout out to William, who said, great preparation day, drive time, may God bless. Thank you, William. I'm not sure where you're texting from, but let us know. And thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay, friends, you know, on this program, we love music. And so here is another one for you. And this is When I Cry. And just listen to the words of this beautiful song, When I Cry, sung by Fountain View Academy.
Making a list of all of the good things you've done for me. Lord, I've never been one to complain, but right now I'm lost and I can't find my way. My world's come apart and it's breaking my heart, but it helps to know that your heart is breaking too. When I cry, you cry. When I hurt, you hurt. And when I lost someone, it takes a piece of you too. When I fall on my face, you fill me. Nothing breaks your heart or tears you apart like when I cry. Alone in the dark, face in my hands, crying out to Lord, there's never been a time in my life. There's so much at stake. There's so much to lose. But I trusted to you, 'cause you'll bring me through. And it helps me to know that I'm not alone. When I cry, when I hurt, you hurt. When I lost someone, it takes a piece of you too. When I fall on my face, you fill me with grace. 'Cause nothing breaks your heart or tears you apart like when I cry. You're the one who calmed the raging sea. You're the one who made the blind to see. And you looked through all of heaven and eternity. I cry, you cry. When I hurt, you hurt. And when I've lost someone, it takes a piece of you too. And when I fall on my face, you feel me. Nothing breaks your heart or tears you apart like when I
was When I Cry by Fountain View Academy. Welcome back, friends. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And William has answered and he has said he is in Adelaide, just like we are. Awesome.
Just like us. Hello, William. You're driving home. And yeah, I hope you have a safe travels because it is raining.
It is. Yes. And so, friends, we have been talking about how we can relate to hurt and pain in our lives. We've been looking at the stories of Jesus and Job and Joseph and how even though they did go through very, very challenging times, that God brought something so amazing out of it. And, you know, Jesus actually, his ministry was to those who were hurting and those who were brokenhearted. And it reminds me of a promise in Psalms 34 verse 18 and 19, I'll read both of them, and it says, "The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all."
Oh, I love that. Isn't that beautiful? God is close to those, the brokenhearted. That's so beautiful.
Yes. Do you have one?
Yeah, I've got a beautiful text from Ruth, actually.
Oh.
In the story of Ruth, there is a character or a person called
Naomi.
Naomi. I remember when I was little, I had a tiny little Bible and I underlined all the Naomis in Ruth. So Naomi she was overwhelmed by grief. So her story, there was a famine that drove her family from Bethlehem. Her husband died. Then her two sons died. And she returned home broken and bitter. But then what happened is her daughter-in-law's, one was called Orpah. And she left,
yes.
But Ruth, the other daughter-in-law, stayed. And she said to her mother-in-law that she would stay with her and not leave. And she said, "Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God." And that's so beautiful. She'd had a sense of loss and almost like, I guess, betrayal. God, what have you done? But here God sent Ruth with her. And Naomi actually had said, "Call me not Naomi anymore. Call me Mara," which means bitterness, "for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." But what is beautiful is that in the story of Ruth, Naomi, it's presented as a lesson of tender sympathy and steadfast love, because Naomi, she was then looked after by Ruth, and then Ruth went and gleaned or picked grain in a particular field, which was a man called Boaz, who was older than her, and they ended up getting married. And from that line, who came from that line? What was the generations? Who came from that?
It was Jesus.
Jesus. Yes. So within this tragedy, God had a plan. God can still write a beautiful ending after devastating loss. And I just love that story. And and Hannah is another one. We were just talking about your beautiful new nephew. And I know some people who've actually, you know, they've had the pain of not being able to have children, and then they could, and they actually called their first child Samuel. Hannah, it's the pain of the unanswered prayer. So she longed for a child. She endured years of barrenness or unable to have a child, and she was even mocked by women around her. She prayed with tears, "Please, God, let me have a child." And God answered her prayer with a beautiful boy, and his name was Samuel. And in 1 Samuel 1:10, it says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept." So here we hear that God hears our tears, and no one else sees them, but God hears them, because we serve a God that has ears that hear, eyes that see, and a mouth that talks to us. And, you know, Hannah carried her burden to God in prayer, and that's a really good example of what we should do, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, I love that she, you know, her prayer was such, you know, an earnest plea to God, and she could have, you know, been like, "Oh, well, God, maybe he's not real because he hasn't heard, nothing's happened."
Or be bitter, but she didn't. She was faithful to keep praying, and God answered the prayer. And we look at David, for example, that's very funny. I said that because we've just a shout out to David, who's listening from Western Australia.
Oh, thank you for listening, David.
Yes. So David, in the Bible, King David, he was heartbroken, and there was failure as well that happened to him. He was hunted by Saul, who was the king at the time. He was betrayed by his friends. He fell into terrible sin because he coveted or wanted someone else's wife. And then he sent that husband away to the front lines, and he was killed. So that's, you know, that's murder, isn't it? And then the love of his life that he had the affair with, they lost a child, and there was family rebellion. So everything was going wrong. It's like the, you know, basically the train wreck of a family. But he found forgiveness and he found restoration. Why? Because he came to God, and it says in Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit." So what that means, listeners, is when we come to God and we say, "Lord, forgive me from what I've done," and we actually turn away from it, which is when we actually not only ask for forgiveness, but we also ask God, "Don't let us do it again." So he turned away from it, and he surrendered to God, and God forgave him, and he became one of the greatest people in the Bible, one of the greatest kings that Israel had had. And we see from this, God's mercy is greater than any of our failures.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Beautiful.
A lot of people think, "I can't go to God, I can't ask for forgiveness." And I remember a minister saying to a young person, "So you think you can out-sin God's glory?" So whatever we've done, we can come to God, and God is faithful.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a beautiful verse that I wanted to share, which one of our friends, Bruce, shared with us today, which I just have to shout out to Bruce. I don't know if you're listening, but maybe you will later on the podcast. So this is in 2 Corinthians, which is in the New Testament, chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, and it said, "And he said unto me," so this is it's Jesus that's talking, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so Paul is writing here that most gladly I would rather glory in my infirmities, in other words, my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So the weaker he is, the greater the glory that God bestowed on him.
Right.
And then it talks about in his distresses, cry for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. That's a beautiful memory to have, that, isn't it? A beautiful understanding of God's mercy for us.
Yeah, and I was thinking of the verse in Psalms, also Psalms 37, verse 23 and 24, and it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be completely," or it says utterly, so completely cast down, "for the Lord upholds him with his hand." And so isn't that beautiful? When you fall, you actually, or when you, you know, when you feel downcast and discouraged, that's when you really see the power of God, because he holds you in his hand. It's such a beautiful picture.
Wow. Well, it's like a child, like once little Jamie starts to walk, he's going to fall, but he's going to get up, and people will be there to pick him up. And that's what Jesus does for us.
Yes.
And there's a beautiful hymn, which is called "Does Jesus Care?" And it's just such a beautiful hymn. So sometimes on the show we have our hymn story, which is H-I-M because of Jesus' hymn, but also the hymn as in a song, H-Y-M-N. So in this beautiful hymn, it was written by Frank Graf, and that was written, he lived between 1860 and 1919. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Rick. Hello, Rick. Thanks for texting in, and you're in Adelaide as well. So nice to see that you're listening, and thanks for texting in. So yeah, Frank wrote this, and he was a Methodist minister in the United States, and he was known as the Sunshine Minister because he often spoke about hope and in the joy of Christ. Yet behind that cheerful reputation was a man who had experienced deep personal sorrow. And so the story behind this hymn, he suffered from great moments of discouragement, illness, and emotional struggle. And during one particularly dark time, he wrestled with a question many asked, does Jesus really care about what I'm going through? And as he reflected on Christ's love, Emily, and the promises of, that we are just reading in Scripture, he became convinced that Jesus not only knows our pain, but he actually feels it with us.
Wow, that's powerful.
That's really powerful.
And there's a verse actually that says, in their affliction he is afflicted.
Wow. And where's that? She's just turning to it now, people.
Yeah, Isaiah 63, verse 9.
Isaiah 63, verse 9. Powerful. Can you read that again?
Yeah, so it says, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old.
Wow. Isn't that profound that if we're wondering, does God really care what I'm going through? Here we hear that Jesus not only knows your pain, but he actually feels it with us. So that's an outpouring of empathy from the King of the universe. So out of this experience, this beautiful hymn, Does Jesus Care, was written in 1901. So that's more than 127 years ago. And so this hymn is written as a series of questions. So have a listen when we play it shortly. You know, the first verse says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary.
Mm. It's so beautiful, just, you know, the encouragement in those words.
Mm.
And so we are going to play this beautiful song, Does Jesus Care? This is sung by the Discovery Singers, and it's going to be an a cappella version. So
oh, beautiful.
Enjoy this rendition of Does Jesus Care?
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for me? Care enough to be.
And that was Does Jesus Care by The Discovery Singers. Welcome back, friends. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we have been talking about just what that song is speaking about, Does Jesus Care? And, you know, we've seen so many amazing, beautiful promises when we are going through hard times that God is right there with us, and he gives us strength exactly for those times. And Esther is asking, what was that last Bible text? Mm-hmm. And that one was
Isaiah 63, verse 9. I wrote it down. Yes. She knows it off the top of her head. She's a savant. That's what I call her.
Oh, I just see it in my head.
There you go. And shout out, to Rick. As I said, he's listening in, and he had a beautiful quote he wanted to say to us that he's texted in with. He said, it's not in the Bible, but it's a nice saying, and it is, God's grace is greater than your guilt. Mm. That's beautiful. So thank you, Rick, for texting that in. That's absolutely beautiful. And I love that song that we just had, I Know My Savior Cares. And, you know, he really does. And quite often, you know, when we can't actually see God, we think that he has moved. But often it's because we've got things in the way that's blocking him. Mm. And, you know, that's actually what happens to us, that we, it's us that have something in the way. God never moves, does he, Emily?
No, and I love how you were sharing the story of Hannah and how she really, really wanted a child. And, you know, instead of doubting God, she knew that, you know, if she truly gave everything to him and, you know, prayed and surrendered everything, that he was going to hear her. And, you know, she could trust him, even maybe if it didn't actually happen what she wanted, but she could trust him because she knew that, you know, God had her best interest in mind. Mm. And, you know, that's what we have to remember in all these things. God doesn't always cause them. Well, he doesn't, does he?
He doesn't choose them, but he will use them to make us stronger.
Exactly.
I often think about, like, when children, a nurse friend of mine was telling me, when they break their arm, and it becomes like a green break, I think it's called, because it's a very young bone. And they'll actually, when it grows back stronger than it was before. So I often think that for us in our trials. And Rick said, thank you for the shout out and happy Sabbath, Emily and Naomi. So thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank very you for
nice. Listening. And hi to your beautiful daughter, Maya, that we met the other night. So thank you for listening. Elijah. Now, that's a very interesting one of the prophets in the Bible.
Tell us about him. He had depression
and exhaustion. Just think about that.
The prophet, wow.
He did, because there's a wonderful story that there was this amazing, what we call a mountaintop experience, victory on Mount Carmel. Then the king's wife, Jezebel, a very evil woman, threatened his life. So he'd had all of these amazing things that God had showed him and seen, and these wonderful things that happened, which was incredible for him. But then, because this woman came along to threaten his life, he ran into the wilderness. It was completely out of character. And he asked God to let him die. But you know what happened? I love this story, because an angel came and fed him, put him to bed so he could rest, and encouraged him. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes, you know, all we need is encouragement. You know, we need someone to know someone actually physically cares. God cares, but often God puts someone with us actually physically here so that we know that God cares. It could be a hug.
A
human angel. Yeah, I call it my earth angels. There's many earth angels that I have. And my sister Esther is one of them. Hello, Esther. So you're listening in. and Steve, her husband. So yeah, definitely earth angels. We all have them. And sometimes it's hard to remember though, when I love this, that God fed him, he rested him and encouraged him and made him eat this food. And then he could actually go further on his journey so that he didn't give up.
Yeah, and I love the promise in Psalms 34:7. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them.
And fear means respect here, not to be fearful of.
No,
I love that one. Whereabouts is that again?
Psalms chapter 34, verse 7.
And in 1 Kings 19:4, it says, this is in the story of Jeremiah. Elijah still. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. That's what Elijah actually said. So he had depression and exhaustion, which, you know, sometimes I think of your little nephew. I'm using him as an example tonight. Hello, little Jamie. But, you know, often the times where you think of a baby, why do they cry? Mothers will know. They're either tired,
or something,
hungry, wet, cold, or they just need a hug. And that's us, isn't it?
You think about that is a need, isn't it?
That is a need. And I think of us, you know, like everybody, like sometimes I think, wow, I'm really sort of struggling. And why is it? It's usually one of those things. I'm tired or I'm cold.
Often that one, I reckon.
Tired or cold or hungry. And so you've got to kind of, you know, or it could be that you just need a hug. It's very true. So this is a wonderful lesson in this beautiful story of Elijah, which is in 1 Kings. Even God's strongest servant, who was very successful as a prophet, like his, you know, he had what we call a mountaintop experience. Amazing things happened that he predicted, that God gave him knowledge about to then take to the evil people.
Yeah, like he had strong, clear evidence that God was real, that God was with him.
Yes, like it was so, it was actually visibly there for him. Even God's strongest servants can be discouraged. And that's why this is a great story for us to look at, because it was a real person. And God, the God that helped him, that fed him, put him to bed and gave him warmth and gave him encouragement, is our God, the same God.
Exactly. Yeah? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right. And we know that Ellen White talks about in Prophets and Kings, which writes about the Old Testament, into the experience of all, there comes times of keen disappointment and utter discouragement. Think about that. Not just discouragement, but keen disappointment and utter discouragement. And, you know, but I like to think of the word discourage. We should have courage, because what's in the middle of the word is courage. In discouragement, there is courage. We can take courage and God can give us that. There's another great prophet in the Old Testament called Jeremiah, and he was actually known as the weeping prophet. So he was called to deliver very unpopular messages. And he was rejected by his nation. He was imprisoned. He was mocked. He was persecuted, much like Jesus was. And he also witnessed Jerusalem's destruction. That one must have been terrible for him. But in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, it says this, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Isn't that beautiful? So we are to go to the word of God, because that will give us the strength and the warmth and the courage that we need. Because, you know, faithfulness, sometimes it hurts, but, you know, God sustains his servants. And in this particular story of Jeremiah, amid all the ruin that was going on around him, he stood firm. Sometimes that's all we can do. There's nothing we can do to change the situation, but we can just stand firm for what we know is right. And that's what he did. And he allowed God to work through him, even though he was discouraged.
Yeah, I reckon that's so beautiful. And one of the most beautiful verses in Jeremiah that many of us have probably heard is Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And some versions say a future and a hope.
And that's amazing, because someone prayed that this morning when we were on a prayer line, that actual quote, and that just blew my mind, because that's on the front of my diary. My actual calendar diary. Can you say it again? Say the other version? Do you know the other version?
So it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans that are good and not evil to give you a future and a hope.
Wow. That is so beautiful. You know, the main thing for us to remember, listeners, is that just like you are listening to us, thank you for listening, God is listening to us all the time. We are only on here an hour and a half on a Friday night, but God is listening all the time. And he listens to everything, and he already knows. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible, which I've actually now memorized. It's probably taken me a year to do, which says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." So that tells me that before I've even said it, God already knows what I need. Just like a mother knows, you know, little Jamie needs something to eat, or he needs to be put to bed, or he needs to be warm. He already knows before we even have that thought. And if you think about Daniel in the Bible, there's a beautiful story with him that he's, you know, he's crying out to God. And the angel Gabriel says, you know, as soon as we heard you praying, I came straight away. And so it was like a blink of an eye and he was there. That's how quick, you know, if we pray, we have all have our guardian angels, right, Emily? And,
yes.
But when we pray, God sends more angels to be with us. And you know what? I reckon if we complain, I reckon the other evil angels will come by our side. It's a little bit like, I guess, if you're gossiping as a kid in school, everyone comes around, what's the story? What's happening? So, you know, to be murmurers or complainers is not what we want to do. We want to talk about beautiful things and ask God to be by our side.
Well, just like that promise that we read before about the angels, you know, they're camping around us, you know, they're going with us wherever we go. But it's for those that fear God, which we, you know, is not talking about being afraid, but respecting him and you know, just trusting him and giving everything to him and following him.
Yes. And to trust him is very good, because our next hymn song story that I want to tell you about is one of my favorite hymns. Well, I love lots of different hymns, but this one is called Trust His Heart. And there's a beautiful story behind it. This is actually a modern Christian song. Interestingly, a lot of the time, these hymns were written in the 16, 17, 1800s, but this one is a modern one written by a lady called Babby Mason, which is a really cute song. It sounds like you're Irish, because in Ireland, if you're talking about a baby, you'd say Babby. So this is Babby Mason, one of the most respected contemporary Christian writers. And Trust Your Heart was written by her in 1989, which isn't that long ago. And it was composed to encourage a friend whose wife and newborn child tragically passed away during childbirth. And the main message of this song is actually inspired by a 19th century quote, which is often attributed to the great speaker Charles Spurgeon. You may or may not have heard of him, but he had wonderful, beautiful sermons that he did, and incredible quotes people often quote today. And the quote is, "God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. And when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart."
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
So poetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Powerful.
So, trusting his heart is what we want you to do. We want you to remember that whenever you perhaps can't see God, that prayers seem like they're unanswered, or trials linger, or God appears silent, or circumstances just don't make any sense for you or your family. This beautiful hymn tells us these things. It echoes the beautiful biblical characters we've actually been talking about. You know, Joseph was in prison. Job was suffering. We think about Abraham on Mount Moriah, where he had to take his son, and David was always fleeing from Saul. And but in each case, God was working behind the scenes when his people could not understand what he was doing. So, and one of the most quoted lines, which you're going to hear in a moment, is, "God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart."
Beautiful. And so here you can enjoy this song, Trust His Heart, by Babby Mason.
Mm-hmm.
see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand,
Trust His Heart by Babbie Mason. If you've just joined us, friends, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And this evening, we have been looking at how can I relate to hurt and pain. And I just want to read a beautiful verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, most people are right-handed, and that means that's their strongest arm. So.
Not for Emily. No. It's her left, yes.
So how powerful is that? Now, friends, we have a free giveaway that we want you to get if you want to learn more about the topic that we've been talking about this evening.
And the beautiful book is called Searching for a God to Love by Chris Blake. This beautiful book traces, you know, if you've got questions, if you've got doubts, have you been hurt? Are you aching for something more? And so with this beautiful book, Searching for a God to Love, it reaches out to all of us who are seeking a new understanding of God apart from, you know, institutionalized religion ideas. This is actually going back to the Bible. And Chris Blake has written a beautiful book to actually reveal the powerful, infinite, loving relationship that God seeks to have with mere mortals, with us sinners here. And so to get this book is going to be a real gift. If you would love it, then text in now to 0488 808 11. So that is 0488 808 11, and our special code tonight is S for Sam, A for Apple, 421. So SA 421, and you text that in to 0488 808 11, SA 421.
Fantastic. Now, friends, we have been looking at many different stories, many different promises of how God has been with his people, even through hard times. And do you have another experience or story that you can share?
Yeah, I've got a couple more. Mary Magdalene, I mean, what a story. She was broken by sin, completely broken, as I'm sure we can all relate to. She was bound by Satan's power, but she was rescued by Jesus' love. She became one of Christ's most devoted followers, and she was actually present at the cross, and she was the first to witness the resurrection. She was the first witness of the resurrection, and it's incredible that where she came from to where she was, it just shows us it doesn't matter where we've come from, what our past is, what we've done. God forgives us because his grace is sufficient for us. And in Luke 7:47, it says, her sins, Mary Magdalene, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And who did she love? She loved Jesus Christ. And so, you know, the lesson in her story is for me that no life is beyond Christ's power to restore. That no matter what we've done, listeners, Jesus Christ can restore. And if you're thinking, no, no, that's not possible, if you've got that doubt, that's not from God. Who's that from, Emily?
It's the devil.
It's the Satan. It's Satan, and he's known as a liar and the father of lies. So any doubt that you have in you is actually, it's actually Satan that's saying it. So come to God. And we know that with Mary Magdalene, she'd been looked upon as a great sinner from all of those around. Like, they said to Jesus, what are you doing with this woman? But Christ knew the circumstances that had shaped her life. And that's why we shouldn't judge, because in the beautiful Desire of Ages, it tells that story, and that what had shaped her, it wasn't her fault, how she had gone into sin. And we look at another flawed character. It's wonderful how there's always these flawed characters that actually remind us of ourselves. I just want to say a shout out to Stephen. Hello, Stephen. Thank you for listening in. One of our very good friends here in Adelaide, and who we actually delivered a Faith FM book to a year and a half ago, and he got baptized last December. So what a wonderful story.
Thank you for listening.
And it was an amazing story. We knocked on his door and he went, wow, Faith FM's here. And he said, look, I believe in the Sabbath. Can you come in and give me a Bible study on baptism? And then a year or so later, he got baptized. Isn't that beautiful? Such a good story. So let's look at Peter now. Peter in the Bible, his story is about failure and restoration. So he promised loyalty to Jesus, like, no, I love you. I'll never leave you. But then what happened? He denied Christ three times. And then he wept bitterly when he realized what had happened. he could not be consoled when he'd realized what he'd done. But then he was restored by Jesus after the resurrection. So it took a while, and there was a huge trauma that happened because his Savior was crucified, and he thought that it all was lost. But then Jesus came and showed himself to Peter after the resurrection, and he became one of the most powerful apostles preaching. And he was just a lowly fisherman. He didn't have a doctorate in theology. He hadn't had a huge education, and he spoke so powerfully. Mm. And in Luke 22, 61 to 62, it tells us, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly." Because Jesus had already predicted, "No, you will actually turn away from me. You will deny me three times before the rooster crows twice." And when that happened, their eyes met, because he was in the actual trial room. And he realized when he heard the rooster crying, oh, it was what my Savior said. And he looked up, and God, Jesus turned to him. And imagine that look. It would have been pity, wouldn't it? He looked upon Peter. It wouldn't have been of scorn, "Oh, I told you so." It wouldn't have been "Oh, I told you so, got your moment." It would have been a beautiful, empathetic, sorrowful look, that he would have just wanted to give him a hug, but he couldn't, because he was in chains in front of the court before his crucifixion. And so the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Mm. And the lesson there, I really believe, is that failure, you know, it's never final, especially when we surrender to Christ, because Christ will come up and give us the power and the courage to keep going, because failure is not his plan. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, to have sin, it was not his plan.
Yes.
The plan is not for us to fail, but we are failing. But Jesus can turn that around. Mm. And in Desire of Ages, it tells us Peter fell, but he was not abandoned by the Savior.
Wow.
And now the last person I want to talk about.
But before you go, yes, I just want to read something that Peter wrote.
Oh, please. Yes.
And he said in his book, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you."
Did he write that? Because I know that. My dad used to say that quote. What whereabouts is that found?
So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7.
Say it again.
So yeah, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you."
Wow.
And that was Peter.
He said that, and he said that later, because he knew. So I love that lesson, that he was going through this tumultuous time, and he was asked, you know, "Come follow me, leave your fishing nets, come and I'll make you fisher of men." And he was, you know, he was a little bit like I sometimes can be, a little bit like outspoken, saying the wrong thing without even thinking. But then he had this terrible tumultuous time of what happened, his, you know, denying Christ in his deepest, darkest moment of the trial. And then what happened was it was turned around. So the last person I want to talk about is our Jesus, Jesus Christ, known as the Man of Sorrows. So we know the story. Some people that's tuning in, you might not. I want to actually say hello to Randu, our neighbor, who, you know, we're doing Bible studies with. So this is actually all new to you, isn't it, Randu, and your beautiful husband, Lahiro? So welcome to the show. I know you're listening tonight. So in this story, Jesus, what happened to Jesus? He was rejected by his own people. Mm. He was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter. And he was mocked and whipped, crowned with a crown of thorns, and then he was crucified. And he bore the sins of the whole world. But then he rose again victoriously. And in Isaiah 53:3, it tells us about Jesus. "He is despised." So this is actually predicting, because this was in the past. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs." And in Hebrews, it also tells us, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we were, yet without sin." So he came to die for us, to live as human, so he could prove to Satan and the universe that through Jesus Christ, through God's laws, we are kept in his love and we can conquer all. No one understands our pain like Jesus does, because he had great pain. Christ was treated, This is a beautiful quote from Desire of Ages, page 25, which we've given out on the program before. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. And it's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that is so, so powerful. And I think, yeah, Jesus is the best example, you know, to look to when we are discouraged. Mm. And friends, we have another song for you. This is the last one before we do our final little segment. So please stay with us after this
one.
Don't
go away. We haven't finished yet. Yeah. Come back. Don't turn off. No. Come back.
And this one is Remember Me by Mark Schultz.
Remember me in a Bible cracked and faded by the years. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer.
The beautiful song Remember Me by Mark Schultz. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And tonight, is our special Friday night program, Eat Into Eternity. This is where we explore God's plan of rest and peace for us. And we've had an amazing program this evening looking at so many Bible stories of how God has been so faithful to them, whatever they have gone through, haven't we, Naomi?
Yeah, so the pain that people have had, there's always a great hope at the end of it. When we surrender to Jesus, every one of these stories, they all had the same pointing to the same truth, which if we look at Psalm 34:19, it tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not some,
yes,
but the Lord delivers them out of all. Joseph was delivered. Job was restored. Naomi found joy. Hannah received an answer. David found forgiveness. Elijah found strength. And Jeremiah found courage. Mary found freedom. Peter found restoration. And Jesus Christ conquered death itself. And why did he do that, listeners? So that we would have eternal life, where heaven and earth will be restored.
That's right. And there's a beautiful verse in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, and it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." And that is so, so beautiful, because there's, you know, so many things that we wish that we could forget. And there will come a time where we won't have to think about it. And Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." It's just so beautiful. And I love how, John, he was writing Revelation, and he goes through each of those things that we experience, and the challenges, the awful things in our life, you know, because of death, and, you know, sorrow and pain and hurt, all these things will be passed, you know, they'll pass away.
That's right. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, my favorite verses, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So listeners, I just want you to know, you can never out-sin God's glory. Come to him, ask for forgiveness, surrender to him, because the glory of God awaits us. Because Jesus lives, our pain is never the end of the story, listeners. The final chapter belongs to God.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I just love how in heaven we are going to be with Jesus. And like, how amazing will that be, you know, to be with Jesus? And that's what we should be focusing now,
yes,
to know Jesus. And so, you know, we're coming to the close of our program now. And so, Naomi, would you share a closing thought with our listeners and pray for them as well,
yes,
for those especially going through times of hurt
Definitely.
And pain?
The main thing to know is God is listening. So pray to him. Talk to him like you would a friend. And I just want to pray for you now to be able to do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you. We love the Bible that you have restored and kept for us, Lord, so that we would have a roadmap of who you are, why you love us, and how you love us, and that you are coming back soon. We pray for each and every listener whose head is bowed, eyes are closed or open, Lord, that they are searching for you. I pray, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to them and that they will be waiting with that revelation to take you into their heart and their minds and their lives and to surrender all to you. We know, Lord, that you are coming back soon and you will say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter now into the joy of thy Lord." We pray all this, that you cover each and every person with the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was spilt so innocently at Calvary. We ask this, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us From creation to restoration, this is Eden to Eternity. Until next time, rest in the promise in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.